The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.
Hello and welcome to The Common Good. This is Hannah Flohr. Last week, the Petersburg Community Foundation awarded grants totaling over $28,000 to eight local nonprofits. The Petersburg Community Foundation was founded in 2008 and began giving out grants the next year when the grants awarded totaled just $5,000. Since then, more than $250,000 have been distributed to 36 distinct community nonprofits. Last year, the Petersburg Community Foundation created an award for Volunteer of the Year to honor community members dedicated to acts of service in Petersburg. The award comes with a prize of $1,000 to be donated to the nonprofit of the recipient's choice. This year, the Petersburg Community Foundation recognized Jeanette Ness with the award. Today on The Common Good, I'll be talking to members of two of the nonprofits that were awarded grants by the Community Foundation, as well as with Jeanette Ness and her friend Karen McCullough, who nominated Ness as Volunteer of the Year. Thanks for joining me on The Common Good. First up, we have a conversation with Sunny Rice and Kelly Bakus of the Rainforest Festival. Hi, thanks for being here, you guys. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Sunny Rice. I've been working with the Rainforest Festival since its inception. And this project is something that came out of the Rainforest Festival and also out of a sabbatical I was privileged to take in spring of 2021.
I'm Kelly Bakus, and Sunny mentioned this project to me a while back, and it was very exciting to me because I love the creativity that's behind it and also the practicality of it. And I'm more of a technical person and a little bit of the visual person that's involved in this particular project.
You've both been mysteriously referring to this project as this project. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about what this mysterious project is?
Sure. It is going to be a recorded, web-based, and written walking tour, a naturalist's walking tour. I think it'll take people about an hour, and it'll guide them on a walk starting downtown, out to Hungry Point, and then up the Hungry Point Trail to the ball field, and then back down into town. And then there'll be about 9 stops along the way, and each stop sort of talks about a different part of the natural world. And then if they want, there's an optional poem that goes with the stop, too.
So is this going to be a pre-recorded audio tour? I'm trying to put myself in the experience. What's the manner in which the information is delivered?
We're still working on it. This is the exciting creative part for Kelly and I as well. But when I first wrote it, I was thinking people would just be reading, something printed out as they stopped at each place. And then I thought people don't necessarily want to stand there and read. Maybe some people do. And then it was like, okay, let's have them be able to listen to it. Like, I've been to museums before where you can rent those audio tours, and it has you go to different art pieces and tells you something about it. So that was my vision. And then I brought in Kelly, and Kelly and I had a good conversation, and she's got some thoughts too.
Yeah, what we have right now with our technology and our smartphones and being able to wander around and have, you know, anything at our fingertips is a great opportunity to share this information in different ways. And so using a web-based application for this tour means that you can hear, you can read, and we could throw some photos on there too, make sure you're stopped at the right place of where we're directing you to. So we'll have a few different ways that you can interact with this tour.
And is this going to be an app, or do people go to a website? How do they get the get to the tour?
Right now, we're playing around with different ideas, definitely web-based, whether that's through kind of a fully integrated website or it might turn into an app. We'll have to see. But whatever we do, we want to make sure it's very easy for people using it and straightforward. We don't want people to have to dink around trying to figure out how do I do this.
Get all stressed out before they go on their nature walk.
Yeah. Is that what we're looking for?
And Kelly, you said that you're doing more of the technical side. So you're going to be figuring out all of those details of how to make it function.
Yeah, the details of how to make the actual tour function, whether that's an app or the website, and recordings as well, doing the technical recordings on the audio side. And then just whatever visuals we need, photography, I'll go around and get what we need.
We talked about
that.
A little bit of background sound. Like at one point it re-referenced the sea lions. Mm. So it would be cool if they could hear the sea lions in case when they're out there they don't actually hear the sea lions.
Right.
That kind of stuff. Seabirds. And
Yeah. In case they're there at a different season that has different sounds.
That's been a challenge thinking about it because I've been, you know, I keep walking that trail and being like, okay. And I think it's not really going to work for winter, but I've tried to, it would, but you're not going to see the muskeg flowers the same way. But I've tried to think about how to word it, how to describe things so that, well, the bog lore right now is blooming and it's this beautiful pink flower. Mm-hmm. Somebody's here in August, they're not going to see that. And so trying to, that's taken some time actually.
And I like the way that that would give people a window into the experience of that place at a different time so they can kind of have multiple experiences in one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was thinking about visitors primarily, but I hope locals, can learn from it too.
Mm-hmm. And then, Kelly, you were talking about photos to make sure that people were in the right place. I love that because I was imagining people trying to get to the right place and not being sure. But if you have reference photos, you can kind of double check with your view and make sure that you're in the right place. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I think Sunny's going to have it fairly well laid out in the text part, whether it's written or the audio. But for me, I'm one of those visual people. So if I know for sure this is where you want me to stand, which I know there's some flexibility in that. Yeah. But yeah, just to be able to show also on the website or whatever it happens to be, a quick preview too. So if you're just scrolling through beforehand or you're not actually doing the walk but you still want to learn, you can visually have an idea of what's going on as well.
Tell me about the poetry.
Yeah, I had this like 4 months off and I kept doing that walk and wanted to do a writing project, a part of it. And I'm a poet is sort of where I creatively, that's what I like to do, but I do write all the time and explain, nature to kids and stuff. So I sort of put the two together, sort of my job and my creative life together. And so I can't remember when I decided to put poems. I think I wanted to be writing poems while I had this time off. So I decided to challenge myself to write a poem for each of the locations as well. And Kelly and I have been talking about doing some poetry because I feel like the visual and the artist, photographer, videographer, and the poet kind of look at the world in the same way, and then it's just how it's expressed. So someday we'll do that creative project too. But this might be a little bit of that, actually, because we already have the poems, but then Kelly is going to be adding the visual to it. So
yeah. Would you be up for reading one of the poems?
Sure.
Do you mind maybe describing a little bit of what the person who would be hearing this poem would be experiencing, would they be seeing at this particular place?
Sure. And this one's pretty straightforward. This is the first stop in the tour is Eagles Roost Park. And when we get there, we learn a little bit about the geology of Southeast Alaska, kind of simple, looking at understanding why the fjords are where they are, where the glaciers were, why Petersburg Mountain is Petersburg Mountain. And then I have them look up the road. And it does say, like, on a clear day, you'll be able to see the Coast Range and Devil's Thumb on the other side of Frederick Sound. And then they'll get this poem if they want. So it's called Devil's Thumb. Devil's Thumb, the guardian of Frederick Sound, has just now decided to flirt. The shawl of snow worn low on her shoulders reflects the sun stealing through the clouds and winks off her southern face. An invitation to test the waves below. So most of them are really short like that. Nothing
I love
too
the idea of devil's thumb as a flirt.
Yeah, I like that because usually I think it's kind of imposing and a little, and its name too.
Yeah.
You know, so trying to humanize it a little bit maybe, I guess.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Do you have a date for completion for this project?
We want to be ready for next summer.
Next summer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that gives us time to do the recordings and the visual throughout the course of a year to get the different seasons, because I think that's important to incorporate. And it'll take some time to get some audio soundscapes from each location that we really are happy with. So we'll be able to play a little bit with that.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, thank you both so much for coming in, and congratulations on your grant, and good luck with this project.
Thank
you. Sounds fun.
Thank you.
Thanks, Anna.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Common Good here on KFSK. Coming up next, we have a conversation with Becky Turland and Katie Holmland of the Petersburg Medical Center. Well, thanks for being here, you guys. I want to introduce yourselves and talk a little bit about who you are in relation to this project.
Well, I get to start this off. Thanks, Katie. My name is Becky Turland. I am Community Health Wellness Specialist at Petersburg Medical Center. I'm also a coach in our community for youth. I'm also a volunteer and a board member at many youth organizations. So that is how I kind of relate to this project.
I'm Katie Holmland. I'm the Youth Program Coordinator with Petersburg Medical Center, part of Becky's team in the Wellness Department. I'm also the director of Kinderskog Nature Program and a volunteer as well with lots of different youth organizations. So again, that's how I relate to this project.
So what is the project?
The project that we are doing, or we were awarded with the Petersburg Community Foundation, is that we will be doing mental health first aid training for youth in our community. So we will be sending two people to get certified to facilitate training locally for residents for youth mental health first aid.
So does that mean that two people will go out, they will receive the training to become teachers so that they can teach other people in the community how to know how to do first aid for mental health?
Yes.
You have that right? Okay. What is youth mental health first aid?
Youth mental health first aid is a way of helping to support youth who maybe are experiencing a mental health crisis, and a way to intervene and provide them with the support and connect them with the resources so that hopefully we can get them out of that situation and kind of onto a better path where they can be a little bit more supported and find some healthier ways to cope with some of the hardships that all of our kids go through.
Why did you want to do this program?
Before the pandemic, we had somebody come to town along with Officer Litster, and they held a local training for adult mental health first aid in our community that was well attended. I sat in on that and got certified. And I know during the Share Coalitions, we were talking how we'd like to do youth mental health first aid. However, pandemic hit, crazy election hit, and we noticed, you know, our priorities shifted. And as we're coming out of the pandemic, we realized that mental health is still a major struggle and a area that we want to reduce the stigma, and helping our youth was our priority. So medical center, our positions through the medical center, and then working with the Share Coalition, really wanted to bring this training to our community locally. You can do it online, but it's much better when you can sit in person with a class, you know, with your class and take a training like this.
Mm. And you mentioned the pandemic hit and then the crazy election. You were referencing those because those are things that are affecting youth mental health.
They are. Yeah, I think a lot of kids were put into a really difficult situation where they were dealing with perhaps some different political situations within their own home, and then they were out of school or doing virtual schooling for a while, and a lot of their other activities and things were closed down, and they just haven't had a place to go and process any of what's been going on, all while they're also dealing with the pandemic and being teenagers and everything that goes along with all of that, those normal kind of more typical teen situations. and they didn't have places to go mm-hmm. and talk about it or find places for connection. So I think something that our students have been asking for at the school district as well is more help with their behavioral health and their mental health.
Hmm. That's interesting that students have actually been asking for it. Do you think that Petersburg has a specific need for this intervention more than, you know, because youth all around the country went through the pandemic, went through that contentious election. How is it different here?
Petersburg is a small town. I think it's a little bit different because of that. Everyone thinks they know everything about what's going on with others. And it's tricky, too, because if you're going through something that's really heavy and difficult to process, it's hard to feel comfortable to go to someone here locally to ask for help without fear of judgment or stigma or it trickling through the Petersburg rumor mill.
Mm-hmm. Running into them awkwardly at the grocery store.
Exactly.
Yeah. Who would you encourage to take this training? Is it just for teachers and people who have direct contact with kids every single day?
Once we are certified, that is our primary focus to start with, is making sure that the school staff get the training. Also looking at coaches, anybody that is close with children, we're going to open it up to the community so family members can get it. Basically, anybody in the community should get it. Yes, it's youth focused, but it also will be good information and insight to help anybody that's going through any behavioral health or mental health struggles at the time.
Is there going to be a cost associated with taking that class?
Free of charge to the community. So
amazing.
That is a great thing. Thankful for the Petersburg Community Foundation and helping us fund this project.
I think the important thing to remember, too, is everyone has mental health. And this is mm-hmm. a way to be proactive as well. Mm-hmm. Take this training. Know the signs before it gets too far down the road. Know how to intervene.
How will you know that the program is successful?
I think that's a trickier question to answer. I guess my hope would be that we have youth that are more willing to talk about what they're going through. Youth who know where to go to ask for help would be signs for me that it was successful. I know my own training in youth mental health first aid, I know it's successful because we've dealt with those situations and those people are still here.
You've dealt with those situations as an adult dealing with kids who are having a tough time.
Yes.
And that training really helped you figure out what to do.
Absolutely.
You know, as an EMT and doing first aid in emergencies and utilizing that in my regular life, this training's sort of like that as well, is that it's something that we can utilize. And we know as a responder to somebody that's going through a crisis, things that we can do. So, yes, providing resources and places for people to go or seeing that the youth are reaching out, but also providing us adults the information and knowledge to know that it's okay to address these issues and struggles that children are having. Coming as a parent myself, knowing when I need to step in, what needs to be seen, and mm-hmm. what to do to get children help is huge.
Mm-hmm. And so you're thinking of it as a little bit as a mental health EMT service.
Basically, it's kind of what it'd be like. Mm-hmm. Obviously, people aren't going to be on call that you dial up and they're going to show up. That'd be great if we could do a crisis response that way locally. But this is, you're there and a tool that you can utilize when you see something going on. And
I think that's the great thing about facilitating it locally and being able to provide this training regularly in a local setting, too, is then there's more of us for mm-hmm. kids to reach out to. Because mm-hmm. a child might not be comfortable coming to me, but they might be willing to go to Becky or mm-hmm. to their teacher or to their baseball coach. So the more of us, the better. Our kids are off. So.
Yeah. What's the time frame for implementing this?
We are going to get trained this summer, and our first rollout it will be in probably August or September. Goal latest would be October of getting it rolled out locally and then having at least two or three more trainings.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking with me.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And finally, I am here with Jeanette Ness, who was just awarded Volunteer of the Year by the Petersburg Community Foundation, as well as Karen McCullough, who was one of the people who nominated Jeanette Ness. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for being here. Do you want to introduce yourselves? And then I've got some questions for you.
I'm Jeanette Ness, and I was born here in Petersburg and will be here forever.
I'm Karen McCullough, and I'm on the board of the Petersburg Community Foundation, which is an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. I moved here in 1973, and this has become my home.
And so, Jeanette, you've been involved in many, many, many organizations over the years. At the award ceremony, Glow read off all of the different organizations you've been a part of. It went on for many, many minutes. It was a long list. And then I heard, I think, Karen, you just said that there were some that actually were not even on that list, so an even longer list. But I would love to hear a little bit about a couple different organizations that meant a lot to you that you feel like really affected change.
I think my passion, and still is my passion, is the Sika Kwan Dancers. It was came at a time I think we all needed to start recognizing the Klinka culture within the community. And we had the potlatch, and then we continued on with the dance group for many years. And I'm rather excited about it because I have a new group that has shown interest of sort of reviving the dance group. So it'll be a new group, and I'm not sure if they'll stick with the same name, but I am trying to promote that as far as keeping them interested because they're quite an energetic group. New moms with an awful lot of kids, all about the same age. So I am really excited about that, to see that continue on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other group that I really, really enjoyed was Compass Theater, primarily because of working with the students involved with that and just bonding with those students and bringing back a movie theater to the community. And it's still going on.
Mm-hmm. And that was in the late 90s.
Yes.
I think for most of the 90s, we were without a movie theater, and then they brought the movie theater to the Wright Auditorium as a nonprofit.
Yes. I think we opened December 18th, 1997.
And the first film was Contact.
Yes.
I remember being there.
And that was quite a controversy, what the first film was going to be.
Oh, I'm sure that was a hard decision.
It was a very hard decision.
Jeanette was on the group that did the Hurry Up and Get It Written Compass Theater grant, Northern Nights Theater, to establish it. Then she was on the board, the group of people that did the fundraisers to get it into the auditorium, and the negotiations to get it into the auditorium, and then was on that board for years and years and years, the ups of the board and the downs of the board. It's that longevity, staying power, and commitment to change that's so wonderful.
Karen, you were on the part of the group that nominated Jeanette. What inspired you to nominate her?
We became aware as a group when we started looking at all the different organizations and nonprofits that Jeanette was involved in that she would be the right choice for this year. We know how many people in Petersburg volunteer. There are many fine people, many, many volunteers. In all the years I've been in Petersburg, it always seems as if Jeanette's involved with a whole assortment of different nonprofits and across the board, Pioneers of Alaska, Tlingit organizations and nonprofits, but always supportive and always open to everyone. And I found that refreshing. And I've also seen Jeanette as a mentor to lots of other people, including myself, for which I'd like to tell her, Gunash Chish, thank you.
At the award ceremony, the Petersburg Community Foundation award ceremony this past weekend, Jeanette, you credited Karen with getting you involved with a lot of the organizations, but you were the one who stayed and participated in those organizations.
yes.
Why did you stay and participate?
Yeah. Karen would say, hey, have you heard about this? Or, you know, or I would ask her about an organization. I usually join an organization or a committee because something sparked my interest, or maybe I was interested and wanted to know more about how to get involved. I just feel like if you want change or you want to improve something, you've got to be involved to see it happen. It's like voting. If you don't vote, but then you continue to complain about your situation, then it's sort of your fault, is how I feel. I just strongly feel that when you make a commitment, you've got to stick with that decision and follow through until you reach that goal or whatever it may be, that change. And when I was on the search board of directors, we had a saying, you have to stick with it and have gumboot determination, because gumboots, you know, they stick to rocks and they're hard to pry off. And so we use that saying quite a bit, and I feel like that's how I am. I'm a gumboot, and I'll stick with it until I see what I'm happy about, and that's just the way I am.
And then this award as Volunteer of the Year comes with a $1,000 check to be donated to a nonprofit of your choice. So where are you going to be giving that money?
To the Petersburg Indigenous Awareness Committee. So they have been planning a plaque to recognize the Elizabeth Paratovich portrait down at the court building. Mm-hmm. And so I would like that fund to help them out.
Mm, this is the mural painted by Janine Gibbons down in the courthouse. Mm-hmm. And that plaque, I'm also involved with PIAC.
Yes.
So that plaque is going to be both in English and Thlinkit, correct?
Yeah.
And I've been watching the emails go back and forth about the last little bit of funding needed. So that $1,000 is going to, I think, put him over the edge and get that finished.
Yes.
Amazing.
PIAC is affiliated with the Petersburg Arts Council.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because it's important that nonprofits receive any funding.
And PIAC is not a nonprofit, but that makes it possible using the Arts Council.
It's an established committee within the Arts Council,
exactly,
which makes everything work.
Right. Right. All right. Well, thank you both so much for coming in, and congratulations again, Jeanette.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeanette, for all your years of dedication and work, and continuing.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks for joining me today on The Common Good, and thanks to everyone who took the time to participate in those conversations. The Common Good airs each Thursday at 8:30 a.m., and archives of past shows can be found at kfsk.org.
The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.